Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
And good day, everybody. Welcome to the big show. I am Jerry O'Lennon, myself, along with Gidi Hansen, licensed marriage and family therapist with The Growing Place. We'll be handling the duties here on KKXX till the top of the hour. And we'll be doing that by discussing the list of things that people need to give up. There are 10 of them that people need to give up in order to be happier in their lives. And Gidi is the guest, as always, on Wednesdays. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I'm glad you're with us.
Thank you.
Last week we talked about the need to always be right. And that's, that was a big one, because it would be hard to be around somebody or to be a person who felt like they always needed to be right.
Yes,
awful. There's sort of an unforgiving quality to it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's a prison cell.
And now the number seven, it seemed kind of the inverse of that one. Number seven on the list of 10 things you have to give up in your life to be happy: negative self-talk.
Yes. And, you know, I was reminded we did a whole series of shows, which probably on the KKXX website is available as a podcast, and also on the Growing Place website, tgplace.org, is available as a podcast, that whole series on ants. An ant is an automatic negative thought. It comes out of the cognitive behavioral theory approach to psychotherapy and to psychiatry. So what negative self-talk is telling myself negative things all the time at the expense of reality.
Yeah.
So the opposite of this is not positive self-talk, because that could be just as unrealistic as the negative self-talk. The opposite of this is realistic thinking.
Arts. We call them arts. Realistic thoughts.
Thinking arts, yes. I like that. Yeah. Oh, I really like that. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah. So arts are better than ants.
Yes. And ants.
But automatic positive thoughts, or apps, I guess we'd call them apps, are not good.
Not necessarily, because I could walk around all day saying, I'm going to be Miss Universe and I'm going to da 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 da, and it's all just baloney, you know?
Yeah.
It's got to be realistic.
Yeah. So you don't want apps. You don't want ants. You want arts. Realistic talk about yourself, living in a world of reality.
Yes.
And so, but negative self talk, why do people like some people? Because I guess I go down this list, and I'm part of all of them to a degree.
Sure, we all
are.
We are. Yeah.
But why is it that for instance, I'll speak about myself, because I think I speak for a lot of people who listen and say, you know, that's me sometimes. I get negative about myself, and I'm not afraid to acknowledge that, you know, I have, you know, bad moments, and sometimes I'll go into that little area in my world where I'm like, oh gosh, you know, why do people go there?
Well, a lot of times it's a learned behavior. They might have grown up with a lot of criticism and negativity. They may have had a parent who scolded them or who had very high expectations and then was always disappointed in them. You know, as Americans are known worldwide as those who strive in their work, and they strive in their play, and they always want to do things to the maximum and to the excellence. And, you know, if you look at yourself and you look at those standards, it's easy to see, wow, I really fall short of that.
You know what? Maybe you're
right. And that can lead to negative thinking that is totally unrealistic.
Because when we watch, for example, television news or read an article on the web or whatever it is, we're seeing just a brief synopsis of someone's life.
Yes.
And we think, wow, this person was a tremendous success in his or her life. Wow, look how wonderful that person is. Why am I not like that? Why am I? And the reality is, you're looking at just a sliver of that person's life, and you're thinking, wow, that person was, you know, Roger Federer won his eighth Wimbledon title. Why couldn't I play tennis that well? Why was he able to do it and I'm not? You know, and we kind of maybe just set an unrealistic expectation of what we think we should be able to do in our lives.
Exactly. And constant negative thinking has physiological effects on the brain, on the body. They're finding real connections now between the mind and the body and the emotions. And a pioneer in this area is Dr. Daniel Amen, A-M-E-N. You can look him up online. And years ago, he had a web article. I'm sure it's not on the website anymore, but maybe in the archives you could find it, where he did the brain spec, which shows the brain and the blood circulation in these different colors. It shows which parts of the brain are lit up and active. He did the brain spec of like a 80-year-old woman when she was just normal, baseline, at rest. Then she was instructed for 20 minutes, think only negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. And she did that. And they took the brain spec again of the same woman just maybe an hour later after her thinking all those thoughts. And her brain had literally shrunk physically. And the blood circulation was less. It was less lit up. It was less active. It was more dark. Then she was told, now go and sit for 20 minutes and think only positive things, no negativity. They came back and did a brain spec, and her brain had expanded beyond baseline and was more lit up and active and alive beyond the baseline.
We're going to take a break. I'm wondering, as I'm listening, why would somebody want to have negative self-talk? There must be some attraction to it because people do it. Do people get some sort of comfort from that? I don't know. I'm going to explore that when we come back with Gidi Hansen, The Growing Place, after this timeout.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is live local talk.
I am not a psychologist. I'm nothing close to it. I don't have a degree in anything like
this. I'm not a psychologist
either. Well, but you're a licensed marriage and family therapist, Gidi Hansen.
I'm a psychotherapist, yeah.
Okay. And I'm not that. But sometimes I think maybe we analyze ourselves. I started thinking about negative self-talk. There must be some sort of positive aspect that people have to want to talk down about themselves.
Well, if somebody might say, well, it keeps me humble. You know what? I don't have to go to negative self-talk to keep me humble. Mm-hmm. I can just look at reality and it'll keep me humble.
Yeah, yeah.
So negative self-talk is a distortion of reality. There's another way of looking at it. And people go there out of habit, most of all. Just bad habits, bad thinking habits.
Is some of it maybe, because I could tell you sometimes why I go there. It's like... it's lowering expectations. Like if somebody says, you know what, I have no chance of getting this position. I'm not going to get this job. They're not going to give me a raise. They're going to give me 1% raise. They're going to give me nothing. I'm going to get fired. I'm lowering the expectation. I'm setting the bar low. I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to get myself prepared for the worst. This girl is not going to accept my overture. She's going to say no to the date. She's not going to want me. I'm going to get prepared for the worst. And so negative self-talk, it might be used as a defense mechanism.
It is. In those cases, yeah. And what I would say in those cases is for me to tell myself whether this guy is interested in me or not, whether I get the contract or not, God has a plan for me, and I'm still a worthwhile person. And that's reality.
But that is easier said than done. Because,
it's because of bad habits, Jerry.
It is. Okay.
Just like we have physical bad habits, we have bad mental habits. Mm-hmm. And setting the bar low, that's the classic underachiever's mindset. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we do it as a self-defense mechanism. This is a step up from that. It's like saying you can be more realistic than that, because that's distorted thinking. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. I'm not God. I don't know what that guy is going to think of me. I don't know what the boss is going to do. Mm-hmm. And for me to forecast something negative into the future and then hitch my wagon to it is not a healthy way for me to think.
You're limiting your options too, just on a practical sense.
Part of that limiting beliefs.
Yeah, It's exactly, that was number one on the list of
That's
10 things
right.
you have to give up to be to have a happy life.
That's
limiting
right.
beliefs, thinking that there's only one avenue toward your way of happiness.
Yeah.
And in other words, if this girl turns down my overture, well, she's, you know, she's not the only fish in the sea, as the old saying used to go. There are others out there who might find you to be a desirable person. And,
right. And
yeah.
you know what I tell myself is, if this doesn't work out, thank you, Lord, for showing me right away mm-hmm. before I put any time and energy into it.
Right. And then realizing there are other options. And,
yes.
and more so than, and I guess everybody's different. I mean, some people, it's hard for me to relate to. I have one woman who I've been married to for a long time. I don't think about those terms, but I guess when I was younger, I may have thought that before I met Kelly, but other people, it's probably more likely, all right, maybe going to college or getting accepted to a school or a job, particularly job, I would say, because you get rejected a lot before somebody says, yes, we're going to bring you aboard. And I think that for more than anything is probably where I think a lot of people might relate to.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And when people realize, sometimes people don't even realize that there's a constant stream of negativity running through their mind.
Mm-hmm.
But when you draw their attention to it and they realize it's there, that's the first step towards health,
mm-hmm.
is just identifying what these negative thoughts are. Then, as you remember with ants, then we challenge them, and that's where we find exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And then we recast them or we restate them in a more realistic manner.
Yeah, trying to think of a good example of an automatic negative thought. And there are probably so many, but they're not coming to me right now. You know, maybe you're going to be called into the office in the workplace. Okay, it's something bad. I've done something wrong.
How about this one? I'll never get a raise.
Yeah, they're never going to.
It's overgeneralization. Never get a raise.
Yeah, they're not going to give me this position. And they're going to let me know. Or there's, when I was younger, I had this happened to me. I was up for a job, and I saw somebody else in the office interviewing the boss. This is like in my 20s, and I'm like, that's the person I'm going to hire for the job. Not going to give it to me. I wound up getting the job, but my automatic negative thought was, well, they're interviewing somebody else. They don't want me. They were interviewing somebody for something entirely different. But sometimes having that automatic negative thought that, oh, you know, I want this really bad. They're going to give this to somebody else. That kind of thing seems would create to hurt your chances of getting what you want to begin with.
It does, and it would hurt your interview.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
It's self-sabotage.
Right.
A lot of the negative, he won't like me, and then I go out on the date, and I pout, and I scowl, and
yes.
I'm gruff, and then I see, I told you.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Okay, I created that reality.
Right. You go to the date, and you're thinking, I'm going to impress this woman, or I'm going to impress this man, and all you're thinking about is, you know, I don't look good, you know, and things are, and you create exactly what you didn't want to become. We're going to wrap up our discussion with Gidi Hansen today on negative self-talk, one of the things that we have to give up in order to have a happy life. We'll wrap things up right after this.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right, wrapping things up here with Gidi Hansen, licensed marriage and family therapist at The Growing Place. We should mention they have a number of therapists and life coaches there, so if you can't make an appointment with Gidi, there are others. Their number is 588-0448. And you could get more information by going to tgplace.org, TG for the growing, tgplace.org. We've been talking about the 10 things that people need to give up in order to have a happy life. Today we're talking about negative self-talk. We kind of create self-fulfilling prophecies for us sometimes.
Yes, we do. And one area in our culture where women really get beaten up is with body image.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, in the magazines and the billboards, we see these images on the internet of what look like, quote unquote, perfect women that's been photoshopped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so rare for anybody to look like that, even the person whose image it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy then for women to begin to beat themselves up and have this negative self-talk. And perhaps it's reaching men now, too. I don't know, Jerry. What do you think?
To some degree, because I've gotten older, I know that I don't have the same physique I did when I was a younger man. I see some gray hairs, you know, popping up in my certain parts of my eyebrows. And I go, and sometimes it's funny you mentioned that, because I was talking to Kelly about it. I'm like, gosh, I went into the past, which maybe you shouldn't do, and I started looking at some old photographs, and boy, I was a strapping young lad back then. What the hell happened to me now? You know, I'm like, what did I do? And I just got old. And so, yes, it happens to men, but I think for some reason it's so unfair.
The burden on women is a lot.
So unfair.
It's culturally okay for an overweight, dumpy, bald guy.
Yeah.
to have a beautiful woman on his arm, and that's okay. But if you had a dumpy, overweight old woman with a young, handsome, oh, look at that! That what is that boy toy? Or you know, that's a huge put down on the woman.
Right, and it's interesting because men get the idea that you can be an older gentleman and you look distinguished. Well, he looks distinct, a little gray hair on the side. Okay, he's got, as long as you don't get too overweight, and you can pull it off.
Young women who are like your granddaughter's age would find you attractive.
Yes, well, he's and why is that?
It's cultural.
Do you think we still have that cultural thing?
I think through Hollywood they're trying to shift that.
Yeah.
And I think there are young men who are attracted to older women. It's just not culturally popular.
It is
the way the reverse is.
The French president, Macron, is 39 years old, is married to a 64-year-old woman. Now, that to me seems sort of creepy. Okay, I'll be honest. It seems creepy to me.
But what if it was the reverse?
It is the reverse.
64-year-old man married to a 39-year-old woman. What's your first thought?
And that's exactly what our president is. That's probably the age difference between the president and the first lady.
Okay.
And it seems perfectly okay.
It's okay, but the other way is creepy.
Yeah.
Ask yourself why.
It is definitely a societal cultural thing, no question. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I sympathize with, you know, because sometimes you go back and you wonder, I feel bad for, I don't say I feel bad because, gosh, that's going to sound sexist. I've got to be careful what I say here. I can get myself in trouble here. But I could sympathize with a woman who gets older has to live up to this image that they have to keep. And as long as we get back into the thing, negative self-talk, avoid that as we get older and don't have certain attributes that we did when we were young.
Yeah, and that's, you know, there was this old joke I read in Reader's Digest where a middle-aged couple, man and woman, are on the beach and this gorgeous 20-some-year-old girl in a scanty bikini walks by.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman takes a deep sigh and says, I'll never look like that again. And the man shrugs and says, neither will she.
Yeah. It's a moment in time.
It's a moment in time for women.
Yes.
But not for men.
Boy, yeah. Well, this is a whole different show now.
That is a huge area of negativity.
It is.
And negative self-talk and self-trashing and, you know, putting oneself down because you're getting all these cultural messages.
And they come too with, and I guess with what we are in life, we're judged by, you know, men, unfortunately, unfairly. This is the inverse of that is, what do you do for a living? How much money do you make? Are you successful? What kind of car do you drive? What kind of house do you have? And that image for men still exists. And in many ways, men in that sense, because of the cultural mores, are treated in maybe an even more harsher term.
Yeah, and now that image is also being applied to women. What?
Right.
You're what?
You're a housewife?
You don't have a job? You don't make money? What are you? You're nothing.
Yes.
You know? Or you only make, what, you're a waitress? You only make da-da-da-da? And so you're not only old, overweight, and dumpy, you're nobody. You don't even have a profession to justify your existence.
So we have just a few more seconds, minutes here. What do people need to do to avoid this negative self-talk?
New habits. If you're functioning, you don't need to see a therapist, but if the negative self-talk is so bad that you can't even get out of bed, you can't go out and get a job interview, you can't be in a relationship, then it's time to see the psychotherapist or the psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if you have them, understand that this is just part of our nature and you can learn a new habit of realistic thinking.
Get rid of the ants, the automatic negative thoughts, and turn them into arts, automatic realistic thoughts. That's the way to go. Gidi, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll be back next time here on KKXX Live Local Talk. I'm Jerry Olen, along with Gidi Hansen. Enjoy the rest of your day. So long, everybody.